Good morning, everyone. Are you well? Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. It's great to be at a service where you gather together to celebrate the fact that God's faithfulness has endured for over a century. Isn't it? Isn't it good to sit and to dwell on and think on the fact that God has been calling people together through the ministry of this place for over 100 years? Is that good? I'm glad you're saying good. You don't seem very excited though. I think this is something that really is worthy of celebration. Great thanks to God. And Psalm 122, which was used when this church first started, is the passage I want to go back to. And I'm so glad that Michael let me know about it. Psalm 122 is not a psalm that I've ever studied before. And so in preparation for this morning, I discovered some great things. I hope that a little bit of what I've picked up will rub off. I hope that just a little of the excitement that I get from this psalm might be contagious enough for you to be taken. But what I really hope is that God will speak to you in a way that I'm sure he has spoken to people in this place for 100 years. For God in this psalm says, keep your eyes on where we're going. Have you ever been in a car trip with your kids and you get that, it's that ubiquitous phrase, I don't know who teaches it to children, but are we there yet? Yeah. I don't think I ever said it. No, that's a lie, I did. I know that we would go on holidays to Wardell, up on the far north coast, near Ballina. We lived here in Sydney. We'd get to about Asquith. And I would start, are we there yet? Yeah. And no, we're not there yet. But all the way there were markers to let us know we were getting closer and closer and closer. Whether it was the clean toilets at Coffs Harbour, lovely in the park there, or whether it was the poplars by the road at Kempsey, so you could count them so long as Dad wasn't doing anything more than 50 miles an hour. That's 80 Ks in the new talk. There were these markers to know we were getting closer to home. You know what? In Psalm 122, we get some of the markers to let us know we're getting close to home. Psalm 122. You've got it there in front of you. But before we get to that, you need to know the Psalms are broken up into five books. Did you know that? It's the hymn book of Israel. The Old Testament people would use the Psalms to sing their praises to God. And there are five songbooks that are collected together in what we call the Psalter or the Psalms. In the first book, it's mostly about the king, the anointed one, the promised one. And although it's speaking mostly of David and then a little bit of Solomon, it does point us forward to Jesus, particularly when you read Psalm 2. That is so clearly about Jesus when you know who he is. You look back and you go, oh, look at this. It's a description of him. That book 2 carries on the same thing. Book 3, the songbook there, changes tone. It really does take a bit of a dip. Because in book 3 of the Psalms, there's a recognition that the kingdom is in peril, and the reason the kingdom is in peril, even though God has promised a king, and even though God has placed two great kings on the throne, the sin of the people can unravel the lot. And unless there's repentance, and unless there's a change, the kingdom will fall. Isn't that terrible? They're pretty slow songs in the middle. Book 4, you come to a turning point. In book 4, the pilgrims start to make their way, and they're the Psalms from about Psalm 90 to Psalm 106. And there's a bit of a change. There's, even though in some of those Psalms there is a lament, there's still this melody of hope that starts to come through. And then when you get into book 5, the way is clear. We're on our way home, and by the time you get to Psalm 150, it's basically, if you can find anything that you can bang together that will make a noise, pick it up and bang it, because we've got to sing praise to God. If you've got anything with strings on it, play it. If you've got anything you blow into, blow in it to praise God, because he's been faithful to his people and he's given them a place. And he is the Lord sovereign over the world. He is the king of all time. And that's how the Psalms end. Well, on a real upbeat, a real lift as we get to them. Psalm 122 is in book 5. It's in that section where we're starting to lift. It's one of the Psalms of ascent that was said by the pilgrims as they go up to Jerusalem each year. Now, have you ever been to Jerusalem? You'll know no matter which way you come to it, you've got to go up a hill. If you're coming from Jericho, you've got to go up a hill. If you're coming from Syria or Damascus, you've got to climb up a hill. Same from Tel Aviv. You've got to go up the hill. And so the Psalms of Ascent, well, they start with the Psalm saying, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Bit ambiguous. We don't know whether they're looking to the hills and saying, that's where my help is, or I'm looking to the hills, I know there are bandits. Where's my help? Don't really know, but they're on their way up to Jerusalem. And when we get to Psalm 122, listen to how it opens. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Because they've made it. They've got there. The journey that they're on their way up to the house of the Lord is just about done. Let's go to the house of the Lord. Pretty apt passage for when you're opening a church, isn't it? Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? I'm not really sure when this church was built, though, they thought that they were establishing the temple. The temple's a lot bigger than this building. I don't know if you've ever seen the description of the ancient temple, but it was it's about 15 acres, which is a little bit bigger than this site. In fact, this site, as Michael said, I read up on the history, it was a cricket pitch. I imagine you could still use it as a cricket pitch, although playing in, not as good. About 483 pounds to purchase the land. You know how much that's worth today? Not what the site's worth today, but the equivalent. There's a little calculator on the Reserve Bank website, and it works out to be about $550,000. That's a bit hard to calculate because there's no equivalence there, is there? So what you've got to do is you've got to work out, well, how many years' salary would that have been? Working on the average salary, that's about 3 to 4 years' salary of a worker to buy this block of land because it was before the bridge was opened. And therefore, this site was a bargain at the time. The people figured this is a place we need to come. This area is going to open. Belinda's, my wife's dad, is going to be 96 at his next birthday. He was there when the bridge was opened. He was standing next to the ribbon when Captain De Groot cut it. And he also tells a story that you don't see in the movies of what happened to Captain De Groot when they got him off the horse. They were not too gentle with him. But all those years ago, the planning for the bridge had already taken place. They knew this area was going to expand and grow. And with foresight and realizing there's potential for a Sunday school to reach families, this land was purchased. How good is it that we could have a place to meet, a place together? Now, when this psalm opens, it says how good it is to be at the house of God. But you're thinking, I know what you're thinking. It's the Old Testament. Talking about the temple, right? Well, go back. Michael didn't get us to read this bit. And it's a heading. And normally in the Bibles, there are headings. You see them all through the Bibles. They're normally put in there by the editor of the Bible. But in the Psalms, those little headings are actually in the original text. So when it says a Psalm of Ascent of David, that's in the original text. This is one of David's Psalms. He wrote this. And if you know your Old Testament history, you'll know that David never built the temple. In fact, he was told, you won't build the temple for me by God. You can build your own house, but I'm going to build your house, is what God says to David, 2 Samuel chapter 7. I'm going to build you a house. And there's ambiguity around that word. The ambiguity is that God is going to establish a dynasty that will have his name, that will be a household for him. So when David says, isn't it great to go up? Let's go up to the house of the Lord. He's not talking about a temple building. In fact, he's not talking about a building at all. He's talking about gathering with God's people. So when these pilgrims look forward to going up to Jerusalem, they're looking forward not to being in a building. They're not looking forward to bricks and mortar. What they're looking forward to is being with God's people. 100 years ago, people realized that we would need to gather God's people together to hear about the Lord and to worship him and to praise him and to grab whatever you could to bang together and sing his praises on this site. Isn't that great foresight? Isn't that generosity? Isn't that God at work amongst these people 100 years ago? Well, some people have wondered about this verse, whether it really was of David. So let's do some careful study. That is, they've said it's clearly about the house of the Lord. It must have been about the temple. But if you look carefully at the Old Testament, especially in 1 Kings, where Solomon, when he opens the temple, says, God, will you ever dwell on earth? No. Behold, heaven and the highest heaven can't contain you. How much less this house that I've built. It was never figured that a building would be the place where God would live. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands. And so it is with this building. It was never built to be the place where God would be. This is not God's spot in Roseville East. This is actually a place for his people to gather, which is what the church is. It was the mindset of the martyr. It's the thinking of Solomon. God does not live inside bricks and timber. And here's the point. The house of the Lord is not bricks and timber. The house of the Lord is his people. Look around you. The people gathered here this morning is the household of God. The promise that he made to David has come true, and we are evidence and proof of it. A community bound in unity. That's what God does. He brings people together. Look at verse 3. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together. The Hebrew verb that's used in that verse is the same verb that's used to describe what you're meant to do when Moses was giving instructions about how to build the tabernacle. It was bind it together so that it looks like it's one. And what does God say in Psalm 122 verse 3? This city is bound together to look like one. And what does Jesus pray for in John 17? That his people would be bound together and be one, just as he and the Father are one. The household of God is the people of God. This is the church. The building is a convenience for us, but it also has involved incredible sacrifice for the people who purchased the land, who did the planning, who constructed this place, so that we could gather together. People that they would never know. Was anyone here 100 years ago when the church started? No. But their prayers 100 years ago were that God's people could gather together to hear of the good news of Jesus Christ. And in hearing of him and of coming to know his spirit, that we could be bound together as one. Isn't that great? For we are the answer to their prayer. When you wake this morning and you looked at the other people in your household who are here with you today, did you look at them and think, you're the answer to prayer? You're an answer to prayer. When I looked in the mirror this morning, I didn't think that. Well, my immediate thought. But that's the reality. People prayed that we would be gathering even a century on and knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord and being one in him, united. The whole world should come to know this. In Psalm 87, it says, on the holy mountain stands the city of God, the city that God founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things of you are spoken. You recognize that line from the hymn? Glorious things of thee are spoken, yeah. It sings of the glory of that city, but it's the people, it's the population. And here's what Psalm 87 goes on to say. I mention, this is the psalmist speaking, I mention Rahab, who was an alien who lived in Jericho. Remember Rahab? She was a prostitute. I mention Rahab. I mention Babylon. I mention Philistia. I mention Cush, which is Egypt. All these were born here in Jerusalem. That's in Psalm 87. In Psalm 87, the psalmist is saying all these people, the prostitute and outsider, Babylon, the great enemy, Cush, the great world power, that's Egypt at the time, all of those will find their home in Jerusalem. You see, Jerusalem, this house of the Lord, was always intended to be a place for all nations to come together, for the peoples of all the earth to gather and worship God as their sovereign king. Have a look around. I think we've got people from various continents and nations right here. As I look at the census for this area, that's certainly the way this area has changed over the years. Once mostly populated by people from Europe, mostly from England, now Asia, Central Europe, Armenia, Albania, and here, China, Southeast Asia. And there's still a few who can trace their heritage back to England. People from all over the world who find their place in the family of God. For that's the way it was always intended. So brothers and sisters, whether you're from Armenia or Albania, China, India or New Zealand, there is a home here for you. And your identity is no longer found in your passport, but in the fact that you are in the family of God. And Jesus Christ, who is God's Son, our Savior, is the one who brings us that unity. It's His Spirit who ties us together, binds us as one, which is what the prayer of this psalm is, that we would be bound together as one. As different as we are culturally, as different as our languages, our mother tongues may be, as different as we are in our personalities, God can bind us together as one. The history of this church hasn't always been a demonstration of unity, as Michael mentioned, when the police were called because we couldn't quite get together with the minister that was leading the place. The history of the church is one of factions and splits, of divisions and arguments. But the constant work of God, while we are in this world, is to draw us together. And brothers and sisters, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. But one of the markers on the journey is that amongst God's people, despite the differences, we actually look for what we have in common. And that is that we are all children of God. Recognizing that we are all different, the psalmist goes on and prays for peace. He prays for peace in Jerusalem. And this is not a prayer for peace in the new Israel, the political Jerusalem of the 21st century, although this verse often gets used for that reason. No, no, no. This is a prayer for peace amongst the people of God, of shalom. And shalom is not merely peace. Shalom means fulfillment, security, safety, inclusion, prosperity. That greeting of shalom is much more than hello and goodbye. That greeting of shalom is peaceful prosperity and fulfillment of purpose. That's the prayer of the psalmist for God's people. For the psalmist, inspired by God, knows that there will be differences along the way. In fact, that's another way we know we're not there yet. There will be differences amongst us. But our prayer should be for peace, for shalom. Our prayer for one another should be that we can live together in unity so that God may be exalted and glorified. For you know what glorifies God is when His people gather together in unity, in peace, in love, and in partnership. In Ephesians 3, Paul describes the church gathering together as the great testimony, the great witness to all the powers in the heavenly realms of the grace of God. As we gather, we testify to the goodness and greatness of God. For 100 years, people have gathered here and testified to the goodness and greatness of God. Are we there yet? No. We're not there yet. One of the markers along the way will be that there will be divisions, but we need unity. One of the markers along the way is that we'll be made up of people from all over the world. I can see that from where I'm standing right now. One of the markers along the way is that we'll need to continue to pray for peace while we live in this world. And one of the markers along the way is that God will be with us. The promise from Jesus to his disciples as he departed was, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And so our prayer this morning for those who will come after us should be that they will be united in Jesus Christ and that they might know the peace of God which passes all understanding. But it's a peace which will guard our hearts and our minds in the unity of the love that we have, which only comes from God's Son, Jesus Christ, who is the great King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So it's great to gather for a celebration today and to reflect on this psalm. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. We're here. We're gathered together. We have a taste of what's ahead, but we aren't there yet. Let's keep praying for one another. Let's keep hungry for heaven. In Revelation 21, there's a description of the city. There's no temple there. Do you know why? Because the people gather to worship God who is in its midst, right there in the middle. We don't need the building when we have him. And that's the vision that John leaves his people with, so that they'll keep looking for it, so they'll develop a real hunger for heaven. Do you have a hunger for heaven? Or have the things of this world become so delectable to you that you think that they'll satisfy? Brothers and sisters, keep looking forward. Keep looking ahead. We aren't there yet, but we know where we're going. Gathered together around the great throne in heaven with Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, as the one that we worship. I want to keep praying for this church. I want you to keep praying for this church, for the unity and the peace that will see you hungry for heaven for at least the next 100 years if the Lord gives it. Amen.